Every parent's been there with that sound in the middle of the night.
Oh, hon, it's your turn.
No way. You get up.
There's that temptation to just ignore the cries. And there are moments when it seems God is ignoring you when you're crying out to Him.
And for whatever the reason, it appears as though God did not hear and that He did not respond.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org.
It's easy to become discouraged when it appears as though God hasn't responded to your cry for help. And this week, Charles Tapp helps you understand God's nature and to see it as an opportunity to strengthen your character as he shares part one in a brand new series, When All You Can Do Is Pray, with his message, When God Tries Your Patience.
Now that I am officially a grandfather, and just saying that creates all kinds of thoughts in my head, it has led me to have several conversations with my oldest daughter, who just gave birth a few weeks ago. And we began to talk about life and all the lessons that we learn from life. And I asked her, what are some of the lessons that you learned from your parents when you were growing up, especially me as a father? And then as I began to think about that, I thought about my own life, and I thought about my own parents and all the lessons that I learned from my parents. And that's what life is really all about, isn't it? Life is not living a life of perfection, but it's about learning lessons that you can apply to the rest of your journey, to the rest of your life. So I decided, and I actually did this, I sat down, and I invite you and I encourage you to do the same thing. I took a piece of paper and I took a pen and I wrote on one side, mother, and the other side, father. And I put a line right down the middle, and I decided to take a look at all the lessons that I learned from my father, and then all the lessons I learned from my mom. But then I decided to choose the most important lesson that I learned from each parent. So I decided to start with my father. I believe the most important lesson that my father taught me, and I'm sure there are other parts to this lesson, but the main aspect that my father taught me, he taught me how to be a man. And what I mean by that is he taught me how to take care of my business. He taught me how to take care of my family. He taught me how to be a man of my word. He would always say, say what you mean and mean what you say. Then I decided to take a look at my mom and look at all the lessons that she taught. And then I decided to choose what I thought was the most important, the most pivotal lesson that she taught me. And here's what I came up with. Although my father taught me how to be a man, my mother taught me how to be a Christian. She taught me how to treat people the way I wanted to be treated. My mother taught me how to love. But the most valuable lesson I believe that my mother gave me as a child, that she poured into my life, was that she taught me the value and importance of a prayer life. Now, she never sat down and opened the Bible or read scriptures and asked me to read this about prayer or to read that about prayer. But she taught me these lessons in very valuable ways. And she would always say something like this, and her name was Nanny Bell Tapp. Nanny Bell used to say, listen, Antoine, that's my middle name. You like that, huh? She would say, listen, whenever you're faced with troubles, whenever you're faced with obstacles in life, Antoine, just give it to the Lord in prayer. Never forgot that. That helped me all throughout my life. It helped me when I was a little child in grade school, when I had bullies who were trying to beat me up, I would pray and God did everything but rain down fire from heaven to give me a way of escape, Kevin. It taught me how to approach God when I was in college and all the monies had run out. I said, God, I need to make it through. And at the last minute, as I was packing my bag, somebody knows what I'm talking about this morning, the phone rings and the money came. She taught me, and she would say, Antoine, whenever you're faced with life's troubles and tragedies and trials, take it to the Lord in prayer. And as I thought about that, I said to myself, you know what? All these prayer conferences that I do around the world, even the class that I started here at WAU over 13 years ago, and even the prayer gathering that is now here at Sligo for some 15 years, none of these things would have existed if my mother had not taught me that very valuable lesson that prayer changes things. Today I want to begin a series that I've titled, When All You Can Do Is Pray. Amen? Because if that's all that you can do, believe me, that's all, dear friends, you need to do. And today I want us to look at a very interesting story, a very interesting parable in Luke chapter 18. And if you look through the Gospels, you will see that Jesus told many parables, these simple word stories, for this one purpose, and that was to help men and women to understand and get a clearer picture of what the kingdom of God is like. I don't know what it is about stories that we're just captivated as human beings when we hear a story. There have been times where I've been preaching and I've seen people start to fall asleep. Nobody's going to do that today, though, amen? And as soon as I began to tell a story, Larry, heads popped up, eyes popped open wide. There's something about hearing a story that just captivates people. And the reason why Jesus would tell stories is because he wanted to make the kingdom of God real in the minds and the hearts of his listeners. And the best way to do that is by telling a story. So let us go to Luke chapter 18. And I want us to read verses 1-4 as we look at this parable, this simple story that helps the kingdom of God to come alive. Look at what it says. He spoke a parable talking about Jesus to them that men always ought to pray and not what? Lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. Verse 4. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man. We'll come back to that in a minute. There are four characters in this story. There's the widow who is in need of help. There is the unjust, unscrupulous judge to whom she goes for help. There is the adversary, which is the reason why she needs help in the first place. And then there is God, and his role in this parable is this. He is simply being God. But she goes to him, to the judge, the Bible says, because she is in need of help. She has been wronged, and Jesus does not tell us what the wrong is. But this is what Luke does say. Luke tells us at the beginning of this story the reason why Jesus tells this story in the first place. He says, listen, this story was told by Jesus so that you would know that you should always pray and never lose heart. In other words, he's saying you should always take things to God in prayer, and in the meantime of doing that, never allow yourselves to become discouraged. And as I thought about that this week, to me, the most vital issue as it relates to being discouraged in the life of the believer is when we cry out to God and he does not answer or respond to our cries. Has there ever been a time in your life where you've cried out to God? And some of you, I know, because I know some of your stories, some of you have actually physically cried out to God. And for whatever the reason, it appears as though God did not hear and that he did not respond. As I was having this conversation with my daughter the other day, I was telling her that one of the main challenges you're going to face as a first-time parent is that you're going to have a child that is going to cry at all hours of the day and night. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And I always told my girls, I said, listen, when you guys grow up and get married, I want each of you to have a child that's just like you. Isn't that good, parents? This child, my daughter, our firstborn, the first night we brought her home, slept like a baby. I said, man, this is gonna be easy. But let me tell you, the next night was nothing like the first night. And to make a long story short, I was tempted to open the window and just, you know, but God held me back. She was trying my patience. But can you imagine how a crying child feels when they're crying his or her eyes out, and the parent does not respond? Honestly, some of us as parents ignored the cries, didn't we? Oh yeah, be honest. And that's the way some of us feel when it comes to this thing called prayer with God. Some of us cry our eyes out, and we feel like a child in the crib crying, and the parent refuses to respond. You see, this woman goes to this judge, Jesus says, because somebody has wronged her. And the Bible says that he refused to do anything about it. But yet she continued to go day after day after day after day until finally the Bible says he decides to change his mind. Let's look at Luke 18, verses 4 and 5 again. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow does what? Troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she does what? Wearies me. Don't miss this. This judge doesn't do what's right because he's trying to do what's right. This judge does what's right because, like a crying child, she was getting on his, as my mother used to say, last nerve. Some of you had a mother like mine, huh? You see, you got to understand the predicament of a widow, because in those days, if a wife became a widow and she didn't have any children, all of the property that she owned, she could not keep. But it was given to male relatives on her husband's side. So if this woman didn't get help from this judge, she had nowhere else to go. Listen, we live in a world today that is full of what I call systematic injustice. Well, the corrupt system, the legal system that is supposed to protect us is the very system that is oppressing us. And that's the case as in this woman in parable of Luke 18. The very system that was supposed to protect her and look out for her was the very system that was oppressing her. For if you ever get a chance to read Jeremiah 22 and verse 3 in the Old Testament, it lists and it actually gives the job description of a judge. And part of that job description says that the judge is supposed to look out for various kinds of people, people who cannot take care of themselves. And one of those persons, it lists as the widow. This widow is called persistent because despite her challenges, listen, she refused to become discouraged.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and part one of When All You Can Do Is Pray, When God Tries Your Patience. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
Jesus came here for you.
No matter what your skin color is.
Jesus came here for you if you're Republican, Democrat, neutral, don't know or don't care, or any political party.
Jesus came for the far left and the far right, or if you're somewhere in between.
Jesus came for the person who cut you off in traffic.
Jesus came for the homeless, the poor, the middle class, and the rich.
Jesus came for love.
Love.
Jesus came for you and for all his children.
We're here to remind you of that.
WGTS 91.9.
Always encouraging.
And 88.3 on the Eastern Shore.
This is Simple Truths for Life. And there are times when it can seem as though God is ignoring your cries for help and really tests your patience. Today, Charles Tapp helps you better understand God's character in these moments as he shares part one of When All You Can Do Is Pray, When God Tries Your Patience.
As we look at our world today, if you ever get a chance to watch the news, and I'm sure you do, I get tired of watching it because it depresses me. It discourages me because there are so many atrocities that are taking place in this country and the world, and it's being done by the very systems that have been put in place to protect the innocent. And some of you know what I'm talking about. But in this parable, please don't miss this, Jesus gives us a couple of things we can do when we're faced with injustices. The first one is pretty obvious. He says, men should always pray. And that word always doesn't mean praying all the time, but it simply means that you're supposed to pray not just in the bad times, but you're supposed to pray in the good times as well. Some of us only pray in the bad times. But this is what I teach my class here on prayer at the university, that prayer is about establishing and maintaining relationship with God. It has less to do with giving God our list, and it has more to do with forming this vital relationship with God. So when we see injustices around us, we're supposed to take them to God in prayer, regardless of the fact that it may appear as though God's not doing anything about it. Because I'm sure many of you are asking questions, why is God allowing this to happen? And why is God allowing that to happen? Our job is to be like this widow and to be persistent and to take it to God in prayer. But here's the important thing. In doing so, it's not nagging God and it's not saying that we don't have faith, but it's just the opposite. Because the more we take things to God in prayer, it is a powerful demonstration of just how much we trust and believe in the power of God. Who says amen today? The other thing that we take from this parable as it relates to this injustice, because remember now, parables that Jesus told were all about the kingdom of God. And here's what I believe that Jesus is saying here, besides taking things to God in prayer, and that is this, that when we see situations where people are being oppressed, where the systems that have been put in place are oppressing them instead of protecting them, that we as citizens of the kingdom of God are supposed to do something about it. In other words, as the church, As a citizen of God's kingdom, I'm supposed to take a stand when I see a system who has his foot on somebody else's neck. You see, my job is not just to go, oh, God will take care of it in the by and by. I heard this story years ago where a young man, a little boy, was walking down the street and he saw one of his father's parishioners, because his father was a pastor of the local church, and the pastor had just received a call to leave that church and go to another church. And this person says, hey, son, I hear that your father has got a call to go to another church. So what is he going to do? Young man looked up at his father's parishioner and said, well, I don't know. Daddy's praying, but mommy's packing. You see, there's a time for God's people to pray. Amen? But Jesus says that we should occupy until he comes. And the word occupy means to work. So as the kingdom of God and as citizens of that kingdom, we're supposed to try to make things right in a world that is unjust. And that's why Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6 and verse 33, he said, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. Do you know what that word righteousness means? It means justice. It's the same word that means justice, which means then, as part of God's kingdom, we're supposed to seek God's justice wherever there is injustice. But for too long, the church has just sat idly by and just let people be oppressed instead of standing up. You see, we'll want the church to stand up when somebody has their foot on our neck, won't we? But isn't it interesting that in the first part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, Jesus says, blessed are the peace, what? Makers. You know, there's a difference between peacemakers and peacekeepers. When you have forces, military forces that go into a certain area, you've got peacekeeping forces, but then you have peacemaking forces. The peacekeeping forces, they go there simply to maintain the peace that has already been established. But the peacemakers are to go into a situation where there is no peace and help to do what? Establish peace. Jesus says we're supposed to be not peacekeepers, but peacemakers. But see, we think that when we go to God in prayer, our job is to make God do what we want him to do. And when God doesn't do what we want him to do, when we want him to do it, we become discouraged because we think our job is to inflict our will upon God. I heard a preacher pray one day and he said, I demand God that you do this. And I'm going, you can't even demand your spouse. How are you going to demand God? You can't even demand your children. I demand God in the name of Jesus. Our job is not to try to force God's hand, dear friends. Our job is to find and discover what God's will is. And I truly believe that that's one of the reasons why many times God delays in responding to our prayers, because he's trying to get us to understand that we need to get in alignment with his will and not the other way around. Some of the best answers God has given to prayer has been silence, because sometimes we need to wait. Sometimes we need to grow. And that's what God does in these delays. It's not that he can't just answer, but God wants to just give more than an answer. God wants us to become more like him. And if it means delaying the answer, that's exactly what he's going to do. It doesn't mean that he's not a faithful, true God. And that's what Jesus was trying to make his point here when he contrasted himself with this unjust judge. Look at Luke 18, verses 6 to verse 8. Look at what the Word of God says. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, talking about what he said in verse 5, that he'll do it not because it's right, but because this woman has gotten on his last nerve. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them how? Speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Jesus is saying, listen, the issue of faithfulness and the debate of faithfulness is not whether God will be faithful. God will be faithful. But the real issue of this parable is, when Jesus returns, will he find faith in our lives? My favorite part of this verse is when Jesus says, and he will, talking about God, will respond speedily. I'm going to be honest. Very few times in my 56 years of life have I ever prayed a prayer and God just answered speedily. Here's why. That word doesn't mean fast as it relates to time. What it means is when you least expect it. It's the same word that he uses when he says, and when the Son of Man comes, he will come like a thief in the night. How many of you have ever been robbed? They didn't call and say, I'm coming to rob you. I walked in our home, and I felt a breeze coming down the hallway. The breeze was because we used to have a back door. The back door was now gone. They tore the door off its hinges. I went into the bedroom and I said, I know I didn't make the bed before I left, but I do remember leaving the mattress on the bed. The mattress that used to be on the bed is now over here against the closet. There was a television there when I left this morning. You see, a thief had come. He didn't announce and say he's coming. He came not quickly, not fast, but he came suddenly when I least expected him to come. And Jesus is saying, when you pray, don't lose heart. I'm coming. Don't miss this. But when I come, most times, it's going to be when you least expect it. Isn't that the way God is? That's all about the sovereignty of God. He is faithful. He will come. It's going to be when you least expect it. It's going to be when you're about to throw in the towel. It's going to be at 11:59:59, and there God is. Why? Because he's God. Whenever I feel discouraged because there's a delay, I've got to go on because I must understand that God's delays don't always mean denials, because sometimes he's not only getting things ready, sometimes he's getting me ready.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and part one of When All You Can Do Is Pray, When God Tries Your Patience. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on platforms like Apple Podcasts and now also on Spotify, or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.org. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
Do you really believe that God has your best interest at heart? Because if we really believe that, we would open up the door to our lives more and grant him access.
What is prayer to you? Is it something that's saved as a last resort when nothing else pans out? Well, next week, Charles Tapp continues with the second part in his series, When All You Can Do Is Pray, and shares one man's journey of prayer with his message, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.